Deuteronomy chapter 20. When you go forth to battle against your enemies and see horses, chariots, and a people more than you, you must not be afraid of them. For Yahweh your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So always they were to be motivated by the fact that God brought me out of Egypt. And that is true for us, because we were all also in Egypt, in the flesh, in the world. Even if you were brought up in a believing family, that's where you were. But when we were baptized, we went through the water, just as they went through the cloud and the sea. The cloud being just water, it was a good symbol, really, of baptism. Water on top of them, in the cloud, water both sides of them. So we also have been redeemed. God has come into our lives and called us, and we have responded. And that means that he is going to give us the victory totally in life. When you draw near to the battle, the priest shall approach and speak to the people and tell them, "Hear, Israel, you draw near this day to battle against your enemies. Don't let your heart faint. Don't be afraid or tremble. Don't be scared of them. For Yahweh your God goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." The officers must speak to the people, saying, "Any man who has built a new house and has not dedicated it, let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Any man who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten its fruit, let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat its fruit. Any man who has pledged to be married to a wife and has not taken her, let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her." The officers shall speak further to the people and say, "Any man who is fearful and faint-hearted, let him go and return to his house, lest his brother's heart melt as his heart." Well, we've just been told that this is in the context of Israel drawing near to fight an army that was much bigger than them. Well, humanly speaking, you're going to think that, oh, but they need every man. You know, there's, let's say, 100,000 of them and 1,000 of us. We need every man to do his duty. And yet, no, they were to always have this thing about, oh, let's see who we can send home. This is absolutely counter-instinctive to the way that we would like things to be, where the idea is that you've got to get all your human strength and use it as smartly as you can. And they're being told, no, get rid of your human strength. You think of Gideon, his numbers being progressively reduced until he's left with just 300 men. This is exactly how God is, that he wants to bring us down and make us realize more and more that the battle is not ours, that we do these things in God's strength and not our own. When you draw near to a city to fight against it, proclaim peace to it. If it makes you an answer of peace and opens to you, then all the people who are found there shall become tributary to you and shall serve you. If it will make no peace with you, but wishes to make war against you, then you shall besiege it. When Yahweh your God delivers it into your hand, so victory is assumed and assured, you must strike every male with the edge of the sword, but the women and the little ones, the livestock and the spoil, you shall take for a prey to yourself, and you shall eat the spoil of your enemies, which Yahweh your God has given you. Thus you must do to all the cities which are very far off from you, which are not of the cities of nearby nations, but of the cities of these peoples that Yahweh your God gives you for an inheritance. You must save alive nothing that breathes. You must utterly destroy them, the Hittite, Amorite, Canaanite, Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite, as Yahweh your God has commanded you, so that they do not teach you to do after all their abominations which they have done to their gods, so you'd sin against Yahweh your God. When you besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, you must not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them, for you may eat of them, and you shall not cut them down. Is the tree of the field a man that it should be besieged by you? So I think you see there that God is sensitive even to trees. Quite often in the Law of Moses and throughout the Bible, particularly in the Law of Moses, you see his sensitivity to the feelings of animals. You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. is an example, I think, and it's the same here with the command about the trees. God is sensitive to his creation, and I think that is to show us how much even more sensitive he is to us and that all that goes on in our lives. And it is that sensitivity that we are to show, yes, to the natural creation, but particularly to people and to the people of God. But we live in a world that is all about me, that is chronic egoism, self-centeredness gone wrong, and there is no real thought about others, about how anything or anybody else is going to feel, because it's all about me. And we are not to be like that.